Well, hello everyone. My name is Terry and I thank you for listening to the vibrationsofthesoul.com podcast. Today, my guest is Kate Keel. Kate is a mother, a grandmother, a musician, and now an advocate for safe internet and communications technology. While Kate's formal training is in music, by a piano and choral conducting, with 5G and the Internet of Things looming on the horizon, Kate has dedicated herself to informing the public and policymakers about the harms of 5G and the Internet of Things, and calling for safe technology that respects and protects all life. Kate has been instrumental in the following four initiatives. One, the Maryland Smart Meter Awareness, which helped to procure an opt-out from smart meters in Maryland. Two, the website whatis5g.info, which delineates 9 downsides of 5G and the Internet of Things. Three, launching a branding campaign for SafeG, which is a safe technology that prioritizes health, well-being, environment, privacy, and sanity over corporate gain. And four, and most recently, Kate's been involved in organizing the January 25th of 2020 5G Global Protest Day, in which there were 270 stop 5G events in 38 countries calling for a stop to 5G and reclaiming our rights and duty to chart a safe and sane course into the future. Now, the next 5G Global Protest Day is scheduled for April 25th of 2020, and you can learn more about this on her website at stop5ginternational.org. So, welcome, Kate, and thank you for spending time with us today and for making your work impact around the globe. So, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Terry, for inviting me to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to talk to you. And so, you know, I'm interested actually in learning how you became involved with 5G education and advocacy.
Well, actually, it's interesting because I spent most of my adult life in music and raising children. And and this is not exactly where I expected to land. Right. But I have a sister, or I had, she passed away, Marty Keel, and she lived in California. And she was an activist, mostly for animal rights, but in her later years, she turned towards electromagnetic radiation also.
Right.
And stopping smart meters at the time. I think it was in about 2009. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, she literally called me, and I lived in Maryland, and she said, "You know, Katie, smart meters are coming to Maryland." And I said, "Uh-huh. What am I supposed to do about it?" And she said, "Well, you have to do something." So I just pushed myself beyond my, you know, pushed the envelope, so to speak. And I started doing things that I had never done before, calling meetings and hired somebody to put up a website. And before, you know, if I didn't understand something about, you know, electricity or the Public Service Commission, it's just a little internet search away, and I figured things out. And so one thing led to the next, and yeah, we were able to procure an opt-out in Maryland for smart meters. And then, of course, 5G followed in the wake of that.
Right.
And so then I was on to that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That was a big effort that you undertaken there. My goodness. Did you get a lot of resistance with the smart meter education to the powers that may be there?
Yeah, you could say that. They definitely didn't know. I mean, it was very new to them that that electromagnetic radiation could actually have health impacts, and there could be some violations by forcing mandatory exposure to these radiating emitting devices on people's homes that also, you know, were collecting data and also potentially hackable and so forth. And it was new to them that, oh, there could be a problem here.
Right. Well done, Kate. Wow. I mean, how long did that take you to secure that opt-out from smart meters in Maryland?
I guess about 3 years, and then we tried another 2 years or 3 years after that to have the fee removed, because right now you have to pay a fee to not be radiated, and we felt that was unjust.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't have to pay to be safe in your own home. But we were unsuccessful with that.
Uh-huh.
And then by 2016, when the FCC announced the move to 5G and the Internet of Things, I was, you know, at that point, which is more important, not to pay a fee for the opt-out in Maryland or to raise awareness around the world, or around Maryland at that point, for the harms of 5G, and that felt significantly more important because no one had any idea what 5G was and what was coming. And I just thought that was I knew they were going to be marketed to by industry as, you know, this is the next best thing, you know, whatever. And this is the wave of the future, and we've got to, you know, you want everything connected to the internet. And I knew that was coming. And so I thought the public needed to find out, wait a minute, there may be some downsides here.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, let me just ask you a question. When we're talking, I just want to kind of tell me a little bit about smart meters, because they're still rolling them out. And then we'll jump right into 5G. So what was your understanding with smart meters in terms of whatever you want to share?
Well, basically just that is that they were taking a perfectly safe meter called an analog meter that recorded your electricity usage. And once a month, somebody would come by, get out of a car and look at your meter and get your energy use for the month. And they were switching that to an automated system where all the meters were going to be transmitting through radio frequency, microwave radiation. They were going to be transmitting your energy usage 24/7 to the utility via a mesh network. In most cities, it's via a mesh network, meaning all the meters are talking to each other 24/7, and the data is transmitted from house to house to house to house until it lands on a router, a neighborhood router, and then from there it gets sent onto a cell tower and then back to the utility. So it basically is not only forcing another blanket of radiation onto your home. You know, you people have a choice with a cell phone. If I don't have a cell phone personally, and I'm very happy not having a cell phone. But if somebody wants to expose themselves, that's their choice. With a smart meter, we didn't have a choice. It was going to be forced on us to live with this potentially next to a baby, potentially. That's my cat. You know, just forced exposure 24/7. To wireless radiation.
It's unbelievable. Did you run across people who were ill because of it?
Yeah, many people. The effects of wireless radiation can be long term, can be short term. you know, immediate, and they could also be, you know, you don't perceive them, but potentially harmful in ways we don't know with chronic ailments. So in terms of electromagnetic sensitivity, some people are very sensitive to this. So they actually had to, I know of people who actually had to move out of their house and were living, you know, either in a car, you know, off in the woods somewhere just to get away from this. And then long term, you know, it's associated with all sorts of things, cancer and, you know, heart disease, all sorts of different things. And then there's just the more the chronic things like headaches or inability to sleep or dizziness or nausea, or right. different things like that.
It's unbelievable. We're living in a sea of frequencies here, you know, and
absolutely.
Yeah,
it was, one person said it the way they said it, and this is a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago. He said, if we could see all the frequencies around us, we wouldn't see each other.
Oh, my God. Oh, just take that in for a moment when you're listening to this, because, yeah. You know, I can walk in certain places, stores, or mostly if I'm in a store setting, whatever they have going on there in their stores, between alarms and wireless and information, and sometimes my head feels like it's spinning. Have you ever had that, where you just the sensitivity of the fields that you're in are just way too much?
Well, I personally, to be honest, I don't feel. I'm not electrically sensitive, but I try to avoid it as much as possible because I know it is a stressor on our health. And so I just like I don't like to eat chemicals and additives and so forth, and I like to eat wholesome foods. So I also like to keep my environment as clean from radio frequency radiation and other forms of electromagnetic pollution. There's also dirty electricity or electrical fields, magnetic fields.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, well said. Well, thank you just for bringing that awareness there in regards to the smart meters, because obviously it's still being rolled out around the planet.
Right.
it's very unfortunate, but, you know, now we've got this 5G, and I really appreciate you educating everyone who's going to listen to this today. I'm learning more always. And so let's get into the 5G aspect now. So you went from smart meter awareness into 5G. I think it's just wonderful, Kate. What exactly is 5G, and how does it work? And we can start there.
So 5G refers to the fifth generation of wireless technology. So there was, you know, 2Gs or the, I think 2Gs are flip phones, and 3G added texting, 4G turned into smartphones, and now 5G, the fifth generation of wireless technology. The industry is hoping will connect every single thing possible to the internet. So that's going to connect, you know, baby diapers and, you know, your stove, your dishwasher, plant waterers, anything you could possibly connect. It will connect every moment in time, every spot on the on the face of the earth, literally, to the internet 24/7. And in order to do this, and they're going to, they're really trying, they're scrambling to figure out how to do this. It's really 5G is kind of, they're making it up as they go along.
Scary.
But but this is what part of it is. It will add literally millions of new cell tower antennas in front of our homes, in our neighborhoods, right outside our homes, to an already radiation-saturated world. And these Earth-based antennas will also work together with tens of thousands, like upwards of 50,000 satellites in space. And both of these are 5G, 5G terrestrial and 5G in space. And the plan is to impose 5G on land and in space to provide an infrastructure, as I said, to connect everything, every place, and every moment in time to the internet. And the satellites will work in conjunction with the terrestrial 5G. In other words, for example, two companies want to have user interface devices, two satellite companies, where the users put a device on their car or on their home. And that device is essentially a 5G antenna. So not only are we going to have antennas outside our homes, but antennas will be driving around in our cars for the public to use. So we will be harnessed and used as mobile 5G antennas. So the amount and density, the sheer densification of radiation in our neighborhoods, in our homes, is set to increase monumentally with 5G. It's a game changer.
It just feels like one big giant spying control, brain central nervous system program here. I mean, it's frightening. To the impact of what we're talking about here. And I just saw what is SpaceX, is it Elon Musk who just sent who's building satellites and sending them out?
Right.
Very disturbing.
To say the least, you know, I think Arthur Furstenberg, who wrote the international Stop 5G Space, Stop 5G on Earth and in Space appeal, which has now signatories from like 202 countries, and I think it's like 180,000 signatories, including like 4,000 doctors, and I don't recall, you know, 2,000 beekeepers, and on and on. But one of the terms he uses, which I really liked, he calls it space vandalism.
Yeah.
And I really like that term. Like, literally, that's what they're doing to our skies, the skies that animals use to navigate, birds use to navigate, the skies that we use to understand the universe, astronomers, you know, use to look into the universe and understand it, that we look at, we'll be looking not up and seeing stars, we're going to be looking up and seeing satellites. That's just wrong. It's just, who gave them
the right? Right. Yeah, that's right.
To take our skies.
Well, you know, when we're talking about them and who are them and who? You know, what who are the companies that are manufacturing this? And are they working with our governments? Are they working as rogue op? I mean, what, who are they?
Right. So, in terms of the satellites, they're mainly SpaceX, which is from the U.S., and OneWeb, I think that's what it's called. There's Starlink, there's OneWeb. I'd have to look all the names of the companies. But there, I think Facebook has some, and Amazon has some.
Right.
So those are, you know, there are 8 companies, and they're on the website. I'd have to quickly glance at
them. They're on your website, right?
They're on stop5ginternational.org. But in terms of the ground-based cell antennas, those are mostly, you know, in the U.S., for example, you're going to have Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, and AT&T that are trying to pepper our communities with all these antennas. So just basically that.
Yeah. And they must be working together.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And also, you know, they, for example, they also tend to work with media. For example, you have Verizon's launching a big 5G initiative with the New York Times. So surprisingly, the New York Times has put out some pretty pro 5G information or disinformation.
We'll go with disinformation.
Right, right.
You know, it's always the same players. The same players seem to show up over and over and over again. It's like domination and control is their thing. And yeah, this is alarming.
Right. Actually, just 2 days ago, Ireland, if I can find that right now, Ireland came out with the standards of truth and integrity, and I'd have to look up the exact term of it, but it turns out that the article from the New York Times that was published in Ireland, they came out in Ireland and said it did not meet the standards for truth and integrity in Ireland.
No surprise there. You know?
Right. But it definitely reaches the standards for the New York Times.
Oh God, we need help on the planet, you know? We need help. Who's running the show, Kate? That's what I want to know, because clearly this is insanity. And if there's not money involved or some kind of capital venture here for these people to be involved with this, you know, it's always about the money and the control and the upside.
Yeah, for sure, Terry. Absolutely. I'd like to take a moment, you know, when you're talking about this, to read something that we put on the website of Stop 5G International called, we call it the International Stop 5G International Declaration, because I think it addresses what you're talking about. And I don't think it's, you know, some sort of, you know, sinister global elite or something like that. I think it's more just we've all, to a certain extent, lost touch we've lost our bearings in this world.
Right.
So let me just read. It'll take about a minute,
sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. Thank you.
We envision and seek to ensure a world where 5G, 6G, or any other G is replaced by safe technology that has undergone scrutiny to ensure the health and well-being of all life on the planet before being unleashed. We envision and seek to assure a world where the health and well-being of all life takes precedence over corporate self-gain. We envision and seek to ensure a world where people are connected face to face and heart to heart, and not consumed by ubiquitous virtual connectivity. We envision and seek to ensure a world where the increasingly frenetic pace of hyperconnectivity is slowed down so we can once again connect to our own humanity. We envision and seek to ensure a world where the pursuit of faster, bigger, and more is replaced with contentment from just enough. Mm-hmm. In short, a world that respects and protects all life on this planet.
Just take that in and yes, yes, all of that is beautiful. Absolutely. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's very problematic because the technology itself mm-hmm. is it pulls people out of connection with themselves, out of connection with one another.
Out of harmony.
Out of connect. Yeah. I'm sorry?
They lack harmony. They're disconnected. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's a very incoherent kind of energy that then, because they're sucked in and actually addicted to the technology and disconnected with the earth, kind of like the umbilical cord to a mother, that umbilical cord has been severed of us to the earth,
right.
And it's been replaced by us to the cloud, to the internet.
Right.
And we're literally have severed ourselves from the earth. And then
it's artificial. It's an artificial connection. Is
absolutely. And so then we lose our power.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say then. In as much as we are down that rabbit hole of 24/7 connectivity,
right.
And gotta check my cell phone, gotta check, you know, right. Whatever, then we are vulnerable to being co-opted and just taken down this route for a different future, a future of connecting everything to the end. Oh, we have a race. We have to connect everything to the universe. And there's a lot of profit here. And this is really what you want.
Right.
And we're caught off guard because we have lost our center.
Absolutely. So, transhumanist agenda. I mean, there's a lot of artificial intelligence rolling out. And but it's up to each and every one of us. And this is why I just love the work you're doing, is to get involved and to look at what is happening to us. You know, you can go, if I'm out, just even anywhere, and I look at people, they're sitting at dinner and they have their cell phones and they're not even talking to one another, you know?
Right.
Children are locked into the cell phone, and we're so disconnected from the harmony of the heart, the harmony of the spirit, you know, and the connection to the earth, because this is the way. This is the only
right.
You know,
this
so,
is the way that we're being taken on.
Right.
We're allowing industry to chart our future,
right.
And to chart our relationship to one another and our relationship to the earth. What kind of insanity is that?
Well, to me, it's complete insanity. And, you know, you look at all the autoimmune issues and health issues today. You look at all of the depression, the anxiety issues today for people. There's nothing better than connecting like we are here today. I just thoroughly enjoy talking with you and connecting with you. This is meaningful connections, you know. But
right.
So many people that don't have that. Their connection is their Game Boy. Their connection is their cell phone. You know, they're disconnected, and it's dystopia. It's this artificial superimposed program, you know, that's overlaying consciousness.
And it's,
you can see it. It's everywhere. You just have to be able to see it. That wasn't that the truth, Kate?
Yeah. There's one scene that I just, it has stuck in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was describing, she was on a train in somewhere in Europe,
mm-hmm.
And there was a woman, a mother, and an infant across from her. And the mother was nursing, the baby was nursing on the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And as babies do, her eyes were fixed on the mother's eyes, you know, as only infants
yes.
can do.
Yes.
And the mother, for 30 minutes, had her eyes fixed on her cell phone.
Oh, my.
And the loss to that baby is incalculable.
That's right. It's incalculable. That's it. And you look at this, and, you know, this is where this technology is taking us. And, it's overwhelming to think about, because most people don't even see that it's, I'm going to say it's not random. I'll just say it that way. Okay.
Okay.
In terms of what is happening here with the technology and how it's being implemented, because most people are so busy day to day in their lives, so distracted, right? Running and going and trying just to survive, right? Make it through the day, that they don't even notice that we're being engineered and directed this way. They don't even see it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, you know, I'm not going to come down one way or the other to say if it's a purposeful engineering or it's just the greed of industry that the unfortunate recipients of their greed for profit or their desire for profit. But whatever the reason is, we have lost touch with ourselves, with, you know, the planet, and, you know, and that's just one thing. And there are many, many other downsides, and I would love to share those with you.
Yes, please do. Absolutely.
So I'll just go through a few of them quickly. One is health. Which we just touched on a little bit, but these antennas are, with these antennas, nobody will be able to escape the non-ionizing radiation. That will be, you know, young children and elderly and people with chronic illnesses and so forth. And all these antennas, all this wireless radiation affects DNA, and it affects all our systems because we are electrical beings.
Right.
And the science is, estimates are somewhere between 20 and 30,000 studies showing adverse health effects from this stuff. And they include cancer, cellular stress, increased in harmful free radicals, genetic damages, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and so forth. I can just go on and on.
Right.
So health is a definite concern. Another one is the impact on wildlife. Just like humans are affected by this stuff, so all life is. And many animals depend on the Earth's magnetic field for navigation, for food and migration and survival. And this artificial radiation is interfering also with these biological processes. It's also been associated with colony collapse disorder in bees. I have a bumper sticker on my car that says when there's no more food to eat, because when we have no more pollinators, eat your smartphone.
It's good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So then another area that's problematic is, that you sort of alluded to earlier, is our privacy.
Right.
With these 4G antennas, 4G, 5G antennas, and connecting every single thing to the internet and smart cities and smart regions, that's going to generate an extraordinary amount of data. And this 5G will actually catalog. This is according to Sue Halpern, who's a surveillance capitalism expert. She says 5G will catalog exactly where someone has come from, where they are going, and what they are doing. And this data will be collected and mined and analyzed and stored indefinitely in data centers. And it's going to be used for targeted marketing, surveillance, law enforcement, and so forth. So the fact that we're essentially giving our privacy over completely, unknowingly, and most people are not aware that they're giving their data over 24/7, and as the Internet of Things comes on, even more data, even more granular data will be collected on each of us.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It is massive in scope and the implications. And I know, like you said, these are just a few.
Yeah. So there's so many more. I'll just do one more.
Yeah.
But they're really, I mean, I'm more than happy to continue with the others,
yes,
but
please.
Another one is energy consumption. So they like to pitch 5G as a green technology, as going to help with global warming or whatever, and save energy. But actually, the absolute opposite is the case. Armed with an astronomical amount of data that's generated from all these IoT, Internet of Things, and smart cities, industry says that we'll be able to save energy, but they do not include in their analysis the mega, mega energy footprint of all these Internet-connected things humming and buzzing 24/7. And these include all the things and applications and sensors and surveillance cameras that are constantly going. Mm-hmm. Also, the data needed, the energy needed to manufacture, to make all these Internet of Things devices and so forth. It's called the embodied energy to make all the sensors and the microchips embedded in all of these is a huge energy consumer. Also, from most of our energy is still produced through burning fossil fuels, so there's going to be more CO2 released into the atmosphere from all these wireless sources. Also, the energy required to power the hugely energy consumptive data centers where all this data is stored and analyzed and, you know, fed back to people. And also, and one of the biggest ones is that if you send data through wires, it's a minuscule amount of energy. But if you spray it wirelessly through the air, it's excessively more. Like the estimates are at least 10 times more, but I believe the estimates are far greater than that, of how much more energy it's needed to move data wirelessly through the air. So it's really not at all clear that 5G will save energy. In fact, the opposite. It will consume way more energy. So I could go on and on. But.
Oh, yeah. Share a few more. Share some more.
So I'll share one more.
Sure.
And then we can talk, if that's okay with you, about a safer alternative.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to do that. So this one's your choice. Do you want to talk about e-waste, conflict minerals? Conflict minerals.
Yes.
So that one is a really painful one for me personally.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to most of us, for the last 20 years, our technology is based on minerals, rare earth minerals that are found, many of which are found in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And these are called conflict minerals because they do breed conflict in the DRC. I'm going to read a quote. This is from CBS News. Mm-hmm. They're digging in trenches and laboring in lakes, hunting for treasure in a playground from hell. Hard enough for an adult man, unthinkable for a child. And yet these children, these men, women, and children, in these horrendous conditions, paid virtually nothing, mm-hmm. are risking their lives, breathing these toxic fumes to collect and dig for sometimes, you know, many, many tens of meters under the ground, 100, maybe 100 meters underground, digging for minerals that we use in our cell phones, in our laptops, in all of these Internet of Things things. And the war in the last 20 years in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, we have contributed to the death of 5 to 6 million Congolese people.
It's just, you know, it's just, yeah, it's very painful.
It really is. It's heart-wrenching to say. That's almost as many as Jews killed in the Holocaust. And all for our addiction and financial gain.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the bottom line is there is a safer alternative. And
Kate, can you talk just a little bit louder? Just a little.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just trying to catch my breath here after that. because, you know, clearly we each have a responsibility to other human beings. You know, I don't know, I'm at a loss at the moment. Just pray for all of those beautiful people and something comes to help bring balance and back to the earth and to the people and to the planet, and that we don't continue on in this way. You know, I'd like to just go back to the, and I know it's hard to talk about, but with the conflict minerals and the Congolese people, are there any initiatives, or is there anybody looking at this that's actively working to make those conditions more tolerable, or I don't know if that's the right word.
In 2010, in the United States, there were some laws passed called the Dodd-Frank laws.
Right.
And these laws, in my mind, were so insufficient and so minimal. What they basically said is that cell phone companies or tech companies have to, with due diligence, they have to try they have to make an effort, but they don't have to do it. They have to make an effort to find out, to disclose where their minerals were sourced. They have to make some sort of an effort to trace where their minerals were sourced from, and disclose that to the public. But they don't have to find the answers. And they, I don't, as I recall, I'd have to look up the law itself. I'm not even sure they have to disclose it to the public. I think they're, it's sort of considered meritorious if they do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not even sure that they have to disclose it to the public. But so that was essentially the extent of it. I think in Europe there was a similar law passed a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
But no, actually not.
Yeah. Well, Kate, this is where I just thank you for all the work you're doing and for bringing this awareness to the planet, to the people of the earth. Thank you. Because there's so many layers here. It's so deep, you know, the depth to which this affects us on so many levels and layers is, it's just taking it in, right? Because many people don't see just past their cell phone or computer screen. They don't understand all the background here. Thank you so much for bringing this awareness to the forefront.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and thank you for allowing people to hear this, because as you said, most people, if they've even heard of 5G, it's, oh yeah, the next generation wireless technology, we're going to have faster download speeds, neat.
Right.
And it's, wait a minute, what are you missing here?
Right.
You know, what are we not being told? And it's devastating.
It's devastating. It is. And I can feel your passion. I can feel how deeply you care about what you're doing. And I'm so inspired by you. I'm just so grateful you came on to talk and to share your knowledge and wisdom with others. So thank you. Okay, so maybe just switching it up a little bit to the, the safe technology. What can we do to be safer? And
after I did the website, whatis5g.info, I got connected with three of us together, started working, Jim Turner and Kurt Cobb. And we said, you know, we sat there for months talking and said, how do we combat this multi-trillion-dollar industry on a shoestring budget, less than a shoestring budget?
Right.
So we decided, Jim made the recommendation that we do a branding campaign, a rebranding campaign, because there were 95% of people don't know what 5G is. So let's start a branding campaign. And we thought and thought, what could we call what we're looking for? And we said, well, we want down the road, what do we want? We're not saying no technology. What are we saying? We want safe technology.
Right.
So we thought, what could we use as a good branding? And we came up with, we don't want 5G, because that's going to change to 6G, 7G.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want no in something, like no 5G or stop 5G. So what do we want? We want safe G. So we settled on safe G, and we defined it as, what is safe G? We hoped that people would say, do you want 5G or safe G? And we defined safe G as wired to every home and business with the idea of reducing exposure to wireless radiation over time. Wires are so fast, safe, reliable, more cyber secure, far more energy efficient, and of course healthier.
Right.
Or they have no health impacts for us or wildlife. Mm-hmm. So That's the smarter way of going. And the nice thing, the only thing that wired technology has, that wireless has, that wired doesn't have, is the ability for mobility. When you're on wireless, you can move around.
Right.
But that, so you can use that when you need to. You know, you're out and about. Okay, I'm running 10 minutes late. Text somebody quickly. Running 10 minutes late, I'll be there in a few. That's a legitimate, possibly a legitimate use for a cell phone or a flip phone.
Right.
But industry is doing the opposite. They're trying to take all our telephone connections, all our internet connections, and every single thing, and connecting them wirelessly through the air to the internet. We do not need to have long extended phone calls on a wireless connection. We do not need to watch videos while we're walking down the street. We do not.
I agree. Or while driving a car in the Tesla cars. Okay.
Not only is it not necessary, but that's interfering with our sanity and our life.
It is.
So if go back to having the vast majority of all our internet usage through wired, safe alternatives, and just hold off for the wireless for just, you know, emergency situations or short, really short, minimalistic communications, then we preserve, you know, our sanity. We preserve the earth. We preserve, you know, the e-waste
We save people's lives. They're not mining for minerals, and you know, the implications are huge, aren't they?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we. What we should do, and what you can do now in your own home.
Yes.
Hopefully you have wired to your home, fiber optics or cable, coaxial cable. And if you have that to your home, you're good on that as far as that goes. But then from the router, from the modem that comes into your home, where the coaxial cable or the fiber comes into your home, most people, because they don't know there are other options, they have a Wi-Fi router spewing all the radiation around their homes, they're poisoning their family, they're poisoning their pets, they're interfering with their sleep, and all they need to do is to hardwire with an Ethernet cord their laptop or whatever device they want to. They can hardwire it, and I have stuff hardwired through the walls so I can just plug in a specific area. Or you could even just have a long cable, you know, a 50-foot cable. You can walk around if you really need to walk around with a device. But you really don't, you know. Just use the computer with a hardwired connection and then get off and get back into life. Get back into the business of life.
Right.
Use it for what you need to, and then get back to life.
I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday, actually. My cell phone. This is funny, but I turn my cell phone, of course, off at night, and I put it into a pack, you know, that blocks. It's a pouch that actually blocks signals. Mm-hmm. But I also have put it into the microwave when I turned it off at night, if I go to somewhere or if I'm in my own home, and I actually access a Faraday cage, so it blocks. But I will tell you something very interesting about the cell phone is there are times when I've turned it off and I might have fallen asleep and forgot to put it in the microwave or in the pouch that I just received from my friend. And that phone will be turned on the next morning when I turned it off at night.
How did it get turned on?
I have no idea, but it turns on. It's happened to me twice.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I've heard that from other people, you know, as you're, I don't know, but it's interesting, right? And
Dad, oh, that's very interesting. That's actually a test that, you know, when people say my microwave oven is blocked, you know, I would never use a microwave oven
right.
for food, but,
right.
you know. But
it's in my house. Right.
But when people say their microwave oven is blocked and they can stand right in front of their microwave oven and be just fine, one of the tests that I think is a very good test is to stick your cell phone in the microwave oven. Don't turn the microwave oven on, although that's not a bad idea.
Right.
But stick it into the microwave oven, close it, close the oven, and then call from the outside of the microwave oven, make a call and see if your cell phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And if your cell phone rings, then the barrier, the Faraday cage of the microwave oven is clearly leaking.
Right. That's right.
And so that's a nice way to check if you're...
Yeah, absolutely.
Microwave oven is irradiating you.
Oh, I love talking to you. You're fantastic. This is great. Because really, you don't hear, oh God, we need help with our media. You know, somebody needs to be, somebody needs to be telling the truth out there, you know? I mean,
right.
My goodness. Wow. Well, this is great. Okay, so getting wired, and great suggestions, and thank you for that.
Right.
Let me ask you this. What's currently happening in the U.S. In regards to the 5G rollout? Where are we at with all of this?
It's pretty much a mess right now.
Right.
Basically, industry is using it as a real estate grab, trying to get as much as they can of real estate where they can put these things for as little money as possible. And what they're going to use it for, they're not quite sure yet. or how they're going to use it and which frequencies. And by the way, I didn't mention that, but I should mention that because it is an important part. Let me digress for a moment.
Yeah.
5G is ostensibly supposed to include the millimeter wave frequencies, which have never before been used for telecommunications. Now, we know the frequencies in the megahertz range, the radio frequencies in the megahertz range, we know those are harmful. And there's a lot of science on that. So we already know we're having adverse effects from 4G. But now 5G is moving up to the millimeter wave frequencies, which go, you know, like from 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz.
Right.
And those are shorter frequencies. The wavelength is shorter. And they have... Every frequency affects a different biological system. So, you know, the shorter frequencies resonate with the size of an insect. So the insects are likely to be even more impacted by the faster frequencies, the shorter frequencies. But these frequencies also don't penetrate as deeply through building materials.
Right.
Or through our bodies, so they will affect our eyes, our skin, testes, they also don't go through building materials, which is one of the reasons that the tech companies want to put, you know, many of these up, because they don't go through materials, and they're going to be bouncing and having to go around corners, and you know,
right.
They're still trying to figure that out, what they're going to be doing.
Hmm.
But anyway, so basically, the tech companies are trying to get as many of these installed as fast as they can, because you know, for their business case, the faster they can get them up, and the cheaper they can get them up, the better they can. So they're trying as hard as they can to get the FCC and all government bodies to deregulate, essentially, or to remove a community's right to weigh in on where these are placed, how much is they're charged, and whether they even want these things in their community. And so the tech companies are trying very hard to remove rights, and people, as fast as they can, are waking up and saying, wait a minute, we don't want cell towers in front of our house. Who asked us whether we want cell towers in our neighborhoods? And right. So people are trying to fight these rules. The FCC is a captured agency, is completely in bed with industry. So they're passing rules right and left, removing NEPA regulations and remove, you know, National Environment Protection Act and National Historic Protection Act. They're removing every regulation you can possibly remove to try to streamline the deployment of these things. And people are fighting in every way, shape, or form they can, trying to, you know, have moratoriums, and then the FCC says you can't have them, and then, you know, NEPA laws are removed by the FCC, and then National Resource Defense Council and some Native American tribes took the FCC took them to court for removing those and got those back. But then the question is, are communities listening, and do communities even know they have the NEPA rights back and they can stop these towers from being put up? So it's just a real mess. And also many cities are suing the FCC for, there are many suits going on right now with the FCC because people are just scrambling to say, we want our rights back as fast as they can.
And it's wonderful, and it's time, you know, it's time.
Yeah. And, but then some communities don't really know what's happening, and a lot of communities, the city governments are saying, our hands are tied, there's nothing we can do, we can't fight these, which is, there were laws passed, there were laws passed in 1996, the Telecommunications Act, which essentially took our rights to object to cell towers on the grounds of health. They just literally took it away. But then, you know, then more recently, the streamlining acts were taking it away, and even more than that. And then communities are saying, see, our hands are tied, there's nothing we can do to protect you. But then the public is saying, no, there are ways, there are workarounds here, and you can do this still, and you can do that still.
So what you're seeing is more and more people waking up to the fact that this is not acceptable, and the momentum is increasing, isn't it?
Yes, and that's the biggest thing, is to let the public know so more and more people can talk to politicians. When I go to speak to politicians, at least 2 years ago, what I heard from the politicians regularly was, gosh, I don't hear about this from my constituents. And yeah, your constituents don't even know what 5G is. That's why you don't hear. But if you ask your constituents if they want a radiating antenna outside their home, forcing radiation onto their kids and their home 24/7 to connect every single thing in their home, chances are they'll say no, thank you.
Yeah.
But they don't know about it.
You don't know. So, well, this is why your work is so essential and so appreciative. I mean, really, the work that you're doing and your interest and your passion and just all of your knowledge, Kate, it's just been wonderful talking with you today. Is there any, you know, thoughts before we go? Because we're coming up on that hour, and certainly I'd love to have you back and talk some more, because I think the more that we can educate, the better. But is there anything you'd like to say, any other thoughts, something that comes to your mind you might like to share before we end our call today?
Well, first, I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to be on and covering this issue and caring yourself about it enough to bring this to your audience. I guess I want to say that my hope is that, you know, there's a lot of strife now in the world. And I guess my hope is that we come together now as one, hearts, minds, intentions.
Absolutely.
And solutions.
And this is the way. And I think that I have chills right now, because absolutely, this is the way. Coming together, open minds, open hearts, with the solutions to make our world a better place for ourselves,
exactly,
our family, our children, and people all around the world, because it is the only way to go, isn't it? We said that earlier, I think. It's like through the heart,
right?
You know?
Right. Well, the bottom line is we don't have time to spare for greed or lack of focus or strife or doubt. And we do have to act now to reclaim our future and our present.
Absolutely.
And reclaim, you know, sort of rethink how we walk
on this earth. And how it's like rethink how we use our life, our time while we're here.
Yeah, and also how humans sort of walk respectfully with other life forms on this planet.
Oh, gosh, yes.
For generations to come, you know.
Generations to come. That's how powerful we are. And, I, for anyone who's listening, as I'm very excited, you know, listening to you and your knowledge and your wisdom and the depth of what you're involved with here, your understanding and how you're sharing and helping around the globe. It's fantastic. You're just one person. You know, just one person making a huge difference. And that's what we need, right? To everyone to find whatever it is that they're passionate about, step up, take action, and make it happen.
Right.
To bring us together and to make the world a better, safer place for all of us.
Yeah, and I think I'll add one more thing.
I think
that carving out time away from your cell phone, away from technology, and to be with yourself, just those precious, just loving to be with your inner self and to see what's going on inside, checking what's going on inside of you, what's going on inside of the heart of your child or the heart of another person. And the more we can connect with ourselves, better, I think, our chances are of making a choice that really is the choice we want.
Well said.
And not the choice that's being put on us.
Well said, and thank you for that. And I couldn't agree more. That's, thank you so much, Kate. Now I know that getting others involved, you know, is essential here with your work. And so you can find a lot of information on Kate's amazing website. And again, it's stop5ginternational.org. So please, if you're interested, you can find a lot of information there. And with the next global protest event on April 25th, perhaps can organize and get proactive. So, Kate.
Absolutely. We'll need many people out there protesting and organizing and
educating the politicians and educating the people, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, Kate, thank you so much. This went by fast, didn't it?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your time. And again, so Kate's website is stop5ginternational.org. And my name is Terry, and I thank you all for listening. And Kate, I hope you can come back and chat with us some more.
Thank you. I would love to.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So I think we're done for this evening. So everybody, thank you for listening, and I appreciate your time. And thank you, Kate.
Thank you.